Blog Talk Radio.
Who is January Jones? She is not a young, beautiful, talented actress on Mad Men. She is not an older, gorgeous, exotic dancer from the Johnny Carson Show. She is an author, and she wrote Thou Shall Not Whine, the 11th Commandment, that reached number one at Amazon.com. She is a reality TV golf personality with World High Stakes Golf televised on HDNet. She is a humorist and winologist expert. She is your featured host today on January Jones Sharing Success Stories. So sit back, relax, and get ready to laugh and listen to Ms. Jones with her eclectic roster of guests as you learn life's lessons. These stories plus sharing equals success. Welcome, and remember, beware, because you are entering the no whining world of January Jones.
Now here's a question for my listeners. Are you a woman in the business world? I know so many of you are. Can you imagine what it would be like to be treated the same as men? Well, there's pros and cons on that one. Have you ever wanted to know what a woman can do to get ahead in the business world? Now, would you like to learn what happens when a female-focused approach to sales is totally successful? Tell me, have you ever heard of an amazing book called Selling in a Skirt? Now, would you like to meet someone who has some of the answers that we're looking for today? Now, are you ready to learn how to be successful and how to wear a skirt and succeed? If you can answer yes, or maybe to any of these questions, then you are in the right place. And I would like to welcome you to January Jones Sharing Success Stories. Today I'll be introducing you to my guest. She is also a host here at Talk4Media. She's an author, she's a success coach extraordinaire, and she will provide us with information, inspiration, and some really, really great advice about getting ahead in the business world. I'm pleased to announce that this show is now live on Talk4Media and syndicated on six networks with over 4.5 million listeners to date. We are archived 24/7 for your listening pleasure. So now it's time for you to sit back and relax as you enter the no wine zone. Pour yourself a glass of wine, get some cheese and crackers, and enjoy our show. Now let me tell you a little bit about my guest today. She is the author of Selling in a Skirt. This book addresses the woman's need to use her gender-based talents and the male manager's need to understand how to help her be successful by using her instinctive qualities rather than those which are natural to him. After completing her position as an award-winning training director, my guest has taken her career on a new path as a successful speaker, consultant, entrepreneur, addressing the differences in different techniques between men and women and the advantages of a female-focused approach. It's my pleasure to welcome to the show today Judy Hoberman. Hi, Judy. How are you today?
I'm great, January. How are you?
I'm wonderful. And I have to tell you, I've been reading your book this week, and that is a killer title, Selling in a Skirt. I love it. It's terrific.
Thank you. I have to say that most people remember Selling in a Skirt. It's just something you don't forget. And some mm-hmm. of them laugh and some of them don't. And men will always say, I don't wear a skirt.
Okay. Well, some men wear kilts.
That's right. That's what I tell them.
But anyway, let's start off with sharing a little bit with my listeners where your success story began, where you were born, who your early mentors were. Let's hear a little bit of your backstory.
So my backstory is I was born in New Jersey, moved to New York, and grew up in New York. And so it's a different world than where I live now in Dallas, Texas. But I decided that I was really good in sales when I was probably about 7, and I was a Girl Scout, and I was the number one cookie girl.
Okay.
And, you know, it was easy because I always talked to people. But I remember my first real quote-unquote sales job was with as a Fuller Brush person. And I don't know if you remember Fuller Brush.
Oh, I do. I certainly do.
Okay. So the first house that I knocked on the door was my mom.
Oh, and okay. She
said no.
Oh.
She did. She said, no. She said, just because I love you doesn't mean I'm going to buy something from you. And I started to cry. She said, but wait, just because I love you, I'm going to give you some referrals. And that's how I thought, well, that makes sense. Not everybody's going to buy what you have, but if they trust you and they love you,
mm-hmm.
then, you know, they'll want you in their circle. So that was really how my sales started. But my real career started in construction. I was in roofing.
Okay.
Yeah. And if you want to talk about male-dominated, that's like the biggest male-dominated industry that there is.
I imagine so.
Yeah, and I was not taken seriously at all, ever. I was the face of the company, and, you know, I learned a lot. I learned how to work using my femininity without being, you know, without using it like sexual, because that's not what it was. I was building relationships. I was having conversations with people. And people would say to me, how do you sell so much? You know, so that's really, that was a secret. And then I went to insurance and I stayed there for 25 years.
Okay.
And my teams always were very high producing because we had conversations with people. We didn't interrogate.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And, you know, I think it's interesting that you're sharing this part of your story, because as we all know, anyone who is successful has to get into networking and connecting. And I think it's just all about relationships. Don't you agree?
Absolutely. And I always tell people, I tell all my clients, build relationships before you need them. Because when you need them, then you have to first figure out, like, who can I talk to? But when you have these relationships that are, you know, strong and long-lasting, then when you need something, somebody's there. Or when you want to celebrate a triumph, somebody is there. So relationships are very, very powerful. You just have to take the time to develop them.
Oh, yeah. And that's a very good point for our listeners. It does take time. These things do not happen overnight.
Nope.
You get to, I know some of the people who have been on my show, they've been on for 4 or 5 years. We have become close friends. It's part of the relationship process. Now, Judy, look back and share with us who your early mentors were and who mentored you along your way.
Well, my very first mentor was my grandmother. And the reason that I say that is because she was always the one that said, you could do anything you want. You could be anyone you want. You just have to put the work in. And so whatever I started to do, I would, you know, ask her advice and she would say yay or nay, you know, do it this way or do it that way. So she was my very first mentor. But when I started out with my company, Doreen Rainey was my mentor. And she is, you know, she hangs out with Oprah and Steve Harvey and Gloria Grenier. I mean, she's, you know, pretty big, but I didn't know that about her. I just knew her as somebody that I needed to be in her circle because I trusted her. And she was the one that forced me to write a book. And, you know, and she was the one that was my accountability coach. And, you know, I did what she told me to do because she was successful. And you surround yourself with successful people and you become one of them because they lift you.
How did you go about meeting her? How did that come about?
That was the funniest part. I was struggling. I had my very first corporate position and I was resigning from it. I was there for 2 years and I built a university for a company and all this kind of stuff, but it didn't feel right for me. And so I gave my resignation and that was in March and they wouldn't take it. And after I, you know, pouted and everything, I thought, okay, they're not going to take it yet, but I still have to do things for myself. So I saw this advertisement somewhere about this women's conference. And I called my sister-in-law. I was in Dallas and she was in Virginia. And I said, there's a conference that's in Maryland. Why don't we just meet there? If it's good, it's good. And if it's not, we'll just hang out together. Well, I am telling you that Doreen was speaking directly to me, even though she didn't know it. And her conference was called Get Radical. And when I left there, the next day, I actually told them, that's when I handed in my resignation and said, I am so done. So, and then I called and said, I want you to be my mentor and I want you to be my business coach. And she was.
Oh my gosh. Isn't that how life is so funny? Here you were just trying to get a girl's weekend, get away with your sister. You know, that kind of takes us to my theory that when you put things out into the universe, mm-hmm. I feel that the universe answers. Don't you agree?
Absolutely. It's the law of attraction, really, what it is. You know, when you when you put it out, if you put negative stuff, you're going to attract negative stuff. You put positive stuff, you're going to attract positive stuff. You know, it just works like that.
Yeah. And you attract positive people. And as you said, it's so important to reach out. And, you know, everyone says, oh, you know, they wouldn't talk to me. They guess what? They're loving it. People love to help other people. That's my experience.
Yeah, and, you know, I think that what happens is we get so afraid that somebody is, you know, intimidating or they're at a different level than us. The worst thing that's going to happen is they say no.
Yeah.
You know, you're not going to die from it. They're going to say no, and that's okay. But a lot of times people will say, oh, my God, I remember when I was at that, and, you know, I wish I would have had a mentor and so on and so forth. And people will respond to you. You just have to ask.
Oh, for sure. You have to put yourself out there. And it's interesting because when I interviewed so many authors, so many entrepreneurs, so many actors, everyone has shared with me that you have to learn to deal with rejection. And as you said, the worst thing that can happen is they will say no. But guess what? The best thing that can happen is they might say yes. And that could change your life, couldn't it?
Yeah, and you know what? It's always no if you don't ask.
Yeah, that's a given.
That's right. That's right. So, but, you know, I mean, people, you know, that's what it's all about, attracting the right words, the right people, the right mindset. When you wake up in the morning, you should decide, I'm not going to complain today, and just see how your day goes.
So just kind of backing up a little bit. Now, you were a Girl Scout then. How old were you when you were a Fuller Brush saleswoman?
I think I was probably 18 or 19.
Okay.
Yeah, and I'm telling you, it was the scariest thing. I knew it was my mom's house, but...
Yeah.
No, I said, how could my mom say no to me?
Okay. So then you went into roofing. I mean, you weren't up on roofs.
Oh, yes, I was.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, no. That was the point of why they hired me. They thought that it would be good as a female to be the face of the company for them. And they always told me, you know, I had to, I always tell that story when I do my talks. Because what they told me was that we were in the 70s, and in the 70s, you know, you had a dress for the part and so on and so forth. You had to stand out from a crowd, so I had to wear a dress or a skirt. And then they told me that my appointments would probably not take place in my office, but they take place on the roof. Right. And then they told me, you know, that OSHA was very strict, and in order to make sure that I was A-OK and always safe, there'd be somebody underneath me every time I climbed the roof. I mean, that's how it went. That's how they trained me.
Okay. And there you were. So then, how long did you do roofing?
Probably about a year. I think it was a year that was just, I mean, the roofers were awesome. They really were. Uh-huh. They took care of me. They protected me. But it wasn't the right environment for me.
Tell me about it.
You know, they had an annual convention. And at the end of the year, there's 500 roofers in a room. And I walk in and they thought I was the entertainment. I mean, that's...
Oh.
Yeah, it was like the Wild Wild West. It was a free for all out there.
Well, they must have. For my listeners, Judy is gorgeous, so I'm sure when you walked in the room, they were just thrilled to have you. And right now, I'm thrilled to share our sponsors. We'll do that, and we'll be right back. And we're going to talk about how she went into insurance for 25 years and what happened after that. We'll be right back.
I've seen dead people. Author Teresa Sneed says with a grin, they've spoken to me. Teresa Sneed writes fantasy, mystery, suspense, and realistic paranormal with a touch of sweet romance. She writes what she knows, full of insight into the spirit world, coupled with a panache for humor. Her No Angel series about angels and demons interacting with the living are simply fascinating. Sneed has three more series as well, from Wizards and Dragons to Witches of Salem. Visit TeresaSneed.com for more information or search for Teresa Sneed Books on Amazon.com. Every decade had its musical phenomenon. The 1960s had Motown, The Supremes, The Temptations, Martha and the Vandellas, The Four Tops. The exciting new book, Reflections of a Love Supreme, Motown Through the Eyes of Fans by Tom Ingracia, presents 140 never-before-published photographs taken by fans from around the world that tell the story of the people, places, and things that made Motown the music that inspired a generation. Relive the memories of a time when we were all dancing in the streets and the music of Motown reigned supreme. Reflections of a Love Supreme, Motown Through the Eyes of Fans, is available from Amazon.com. Lately, there's a whining epidemic in our world. People are even whining about whining. Are you sick and tired of listening to everyone whining all the time? So was January Jones, the author of Thou Shall Not Whine, the 11th commandment that reached number one at Amazon.com. Ms. Jones based her book on a survey of the top 10 things that people whine about at all ages and all stages of life. January is a success coach that can tell you how to help others. When you buy Thou Shalt Not Whine, the 11th commandment, you'll find out what people whine about and how to stop them from whining. This is the perfect gift book to give or get for any occasion. Thou Shall Not Whine was voted the best gift to be given anonymously for those special people in your life. Ms. Jones is an internationally known author in the style of Irma Bombeck, specializing in housewife humor with her book being published in Korea and China. You can find Thou Shall Not Whine at Amazon.com.
Welcome back to the No Whine Zone. I'm visiting with my guest, Judy Holberman. She is the author of Selling in a Skirt, and she's also the host on W4WN. Her radio show is obviously Selling in a Skirt. I love that title. That's a great one. Okay, so here we are, and you've done the roofing, you've Fuller Brush, Girl Scout, now insurance for 25 years. What drew you into that career?
At that point, I was in the process of getting divorced. And my mom had passed away. I was getting divorced. I was sending my first child away to college. It was like everything that you could possibly do at the same time. And I was looking for a job because I had sold my company. Okay. And it was a sales company. So I was looking for a job. Okay. And there was an ad in the paper for this insurance company, and I had no clue about insurance, but there was something that was intriguing about the ad, and that's, you know, it makes good commentary, because at mm-hmm. that point, everything was in a newspaper. It wasn't online or anything. And uh-huh. I went in for this job interview, and the person that was supposed to interview me was busy. So this woman interviewed me, and she was the nastiest, rudest woman I have ever met in my entire life. And I said to her, you know, she said, well, I'll interview you. And I said, you know, my interview is with Michael. I'll just wait. And she goes, well, then you'll be waiting a long time. And I said, that's fine. And uh-huh. I sat there. And Michael came out. He interviewed me. And she hated me from that moment. And guess whose team I was put on? Hers.
Oh, you, of course.
Yeah. Yeah. But I just, you know, I there was something about it that I liked. I really had no interest in insurance. I had no license. I had to get a license and all this stuff. But I knew that one of the things that you were had the ability to do was protect families. And I knew what my life was like, you know, having two children, being a single mom, and not sure, like, what was going to happen next. And so I did really well in insurance, and I did it all through building relationships. And all the guys that I came in with, all the mentors there who were very successful, they would say things to me like, you're such a girl, you ask so many questions, you take so long, and, you know, why can't you get in, get out, and get the check? Translation, I was asking questions because I was interested. I was building relationships, and I was getting a tremendous amount of referrals. And I never, after like 3 months, I never had to cold call again, because my entire book of business was on referrals.
Okay. And that is so true. And women are, now when we're talking about the difference between men and women, I just feel that most women are just natural born networkers. Do you agree?
I do, because we do it differently. You know, uh-huh. When I teach people how to do networking, one of the things I say is that you have to have a goal in mind, because a lot of times the guys will say to me, oh, I collected 100 business cards. And I say, okay, what are you going to do with them? Well, they're going to sit on my desk. Women mm-hmm. go in with a goal in mind. Like, for my goal is always to meet three people. Well, with three people, you can create a relationship. So women are, we're more apt to build a relationship. We're more apt to network with intention.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And actually, I think women instinctively have a game plan. Now, share a little bit about the difference between working with men and women. What are some of the outstanding things that make them so different?
Well, one of the things is that, you know, and this is not, you know, written in stone or anything. This is just generic information that I have picked up. Men are more transactional. Men want to, you know, like I said before, get in, get out, and get the check. Women are more relational. They need to have a reason to do business with you, and then they'll do a transaction. That's one thing.
Okay.
Women are storytellers. Women like to tell a story. They like to hear a story. They need to know everything about the story. Men are bullet points. They don't care about the middle stuff. They want the beginning. They want the end. They tune you out until they hear what they want to hear. So, you know, if you talk to somebody, like I always tell people, take your lesson from, you know, you take your lead from the person you're speaking to. So if I asked you a question and you gave me, you know, a really pretty story about it, I know that you're into building a relationship because you want to spend time with me. But if I asked you a question and you said, yep, nope, then I know you want the bottom line, right? And that's that's generally what happens with men and women. So it's, you know, it's like these subtle things that they say and they do.
Oh, for sure. And it's so true. And that's why I love having this show, because I love sharing success stories, because most people really love to listen to a good story. Now, your book, Selling in a Skirt, let's kind of give a little overview of chapter one. I've been reading your book, and you write about the cultural wars. What is the overview here?
Well, you know, you have to also remember that when women are coming into a business or a company, there's different things that they have to be prepared for. You know, when we think about like what really happened to women back in the 50s and the 60s, women stayed home. You know, women didn't go out and sell. There were some that did, but the majority of women stayed home. Well, now you talk about things that change and that women are part of the workforce. In today's workforce, women are 50% of the workforce.
Oh my gosh.
Yes. And you know, and that's totally different. Women weren't in sales. Why weren't they in sales? Because the sales programs that were out there were written by men. They were written for men. Not saying that they were wrong, because they were really good. But women can't do everything that men do, and men can't do everything that women do. So my whole thing was, I always talked about differences. You know, not that you're right or I'm wrong or you're better or I'm worse. You know, you talk about the fact that, you know, men want to make sure that they're always doing business. Women want to make sure that there is a reason to be in business with you. You know, women want to have the relationship. Women want to do business. But I'll tell you what, if they don't trust you and they don't like you, they're not going to do business with you.
Yeah. There's not a connection. Now, Judy, what's your thoughts on it? You write in chapter two about a new era, and we have all this technology that is now available. And I know that so many women and men work out of the home. What are your thoughts about this new era?
Well, working from home is something that it can be a blessing or a disaster.
Yeah.
I mean, you have to be able to be self-motivated. And if you're not self-motivated, don't work from home, because you can be distracted, male or female. You can be distracted so easily. You're sitting here and you have your screen open, and there's an email that pops in, or there's a Facebook notification. And the next thing you know, it's 6 o'clock at night and you haven't done a thing.
Yeah.
Right?
Well, I've had those days.
We've all had those days. That's the point. And that's okay to have a day like that, but you can't have 5 days like that. You know, I always tell people that you have to schedule your time. You have to pretend that you're getting up and you're going to an office. You have to get up. You have to get dressed. You have to be ready to work. And when you're not ready to work, then somebody calls you. And in this day and age, let me just say that when somebody says, oh, let's do a Skype call, you better pray that it's not a video Skype call if you're not ready. Right?
Oh, I love that, because, you know, so many of my guests come on the show and they're Skyping with me, and they'll say, well, I don't see you. And I said, well, no one has ever seen me.
Right. And, you know, and it's funny, because I remember distinctly that there was one day, I call it my sweats day. And when I do my sweats day, it means that I get a lot of stuff done, but I just don't feel like getting dressed and putting makeup on and doing my hair and whatever. And at the end of the day, somebody had called and he said, you know what, let's jump on Skype, because my phone's not working well, blah, blah, blah. And I'm thinking, okay, I could do Skype. And so he calls and he said, I can't see you. And I said, why would you want to see me? He said, well, because I like to put a face and a name and a voice. I'm like, yeah, you know, my Skype is not working well. I'm not going to want to say to him.
Yeah, I know. I know the feeling, because a lot of times when it's past lunchtime and I'm still in my pajamas, I really, really don't want anyone to see me.
Right. So, I mean, that's one of the reasons that some people can't work from home, because they just can't get out of their own way. I used to have a guy that worked for me. He was an agent, and he was a single dad, and he had two little girls. And every time he'd pick up the phone to make an appointment for, and this was insurance, he would hear, daddy, 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 daddy. And so the person on the other end, even though they had little kids, they would laugh, but it really was not very professional. So we came up with a system for his little girls. When he put his baseball hat on, that he was working. When he took the baseball hat off, he was daddy.
Okay, so
they saw the signal. And that's, you know, sometimes you have to come up with something to show your family or even yourself that you're working.
Oh, yeah. I have to remind myself all the time. I also have to remind myself to share our wonderful sponsors.
Yep.
And when we come back with Judy, she is going to share her website information, tell you how you can get her books, how you can listen to her show. We'll be right back.
Come explore with Clyde McCauley the world of the Little Cuties Let's Pretend books with your little one. Imagine the funny, mixed-up emotions of an onion that cries when it's happy. And delight in the giant ears that make a little elephant special. Meet the engaging characters who will inspire imagination and build curiosity in your little cutie. This is where the love of learning is born. So discover the world of Little Cuties Let's Pretend today. The first two Little Cuties Let's Pretend titles are at Amazon and StoryNightPress.com. January Jones presents Drs. Ed Feiereisen and Bob Ruotolo, co-founders of Motive Creations, as sponsors. For those seeking more empowerment and control over their happiness and well-being, you have come to the right spot. MC365 provides the necessary tools and techniques to make your life even more spectacular. Today is the perfect day to start your journey to become happier and healthier. Our mission is to help you achieve yours. Seeking to reduce stress? Start now. Want a better relationship? Start now. Increase your self-esteem? Start now. Do you want more passion in life? Start now. Enroll at www.januaryjones.com. That's JanuaryJones.com.
Have you ever met someone who was unforgettable? Someone who has touched your heart and soul? People who have faced difficult problems? People who have fearlessly shared their stories, their struggles, and their successes? People who have priceless personalities? In my new book, Priceless Personalities, Success Stories Shared by January Jones, I am honored to be able to share with you people dealing with problems such as incest, molestation, child abuse, drug abuse, polygamy, unemployment, scandal, starting over, self-esteem, and workplace issues. My guests have all been exciting, eclectic, and energizing. They will amaze, amuse, and even astonish you. You will adore getting to meet them at Amazon.com. My book is now available, 2-for-1, paperback and Kindle editions. Also, I'm pleased to share that Priceless Personalities is available now at audiblebooks.com. Today, I'm visiting with a very, very special Priceless Personality, Judy Hoberman. She's my guest today. Judy, let's share a little bit of, I've been at your website. It's fabulous. Let's talk a little bit about how people can go to your website and contact you and buy your books.
Okay, so my website is www.sellinginaskirt.com. There's lots of stuff on there that you can pull down, videos and audios and all kinds of great stuff. There's free reports. I like to give stuff because the more that you learn, the better off you're able to mentor somebody else. So that's always my goal in life. You can contact me always. I answer my own emails at judy@sellinginaskirt.com. And I'm on Twitter at Selling in a Skirt. I'm on Facebook at Selling in a Skirt. You know, and LinkedIn, I'm on Judy Hoberman. So it's there.
Okay. And your books are all available. They're also available at Amazon, aren't they?
Yeah, they're available on Amazon. Yeah. They're available. If you buy it on my website, I actually get to autograph it for you. If you buy it at Amazon, I never see it. So.
Okay. Yeah, that's true. I know that drill. Now, your products, you have Go to the Skirt Sales Playbook Program. You have your books, your ebooks, your downloads. You also are available for keynote speaking, sales training, coaching. You do a special program for male managers, also for female sales professionals, and a whole thing on selling to women. How long have you been doing this Selling in a Skirt?
Selling in a Skirt started in 2009 officially, but I've been doing Selling in a Skirt for the last 30 years. I've been taking mental notes, and then when I decided to start my company, it all just fell into place.
Yeah. Well, obviously it fell into place because not many people can write a book.
Well, you know, you know what it's like when you have stuff inside you and you want to get it out and, you know, and you share the book and, you know, it is what it is. But I do want to say that Skirt is really an acronym, even though it is an article of clothing and everybody assumes that I always wear a skirt, which I do because I get called out if I don't.
Sure.
But it is an acronym. It means standing out, keys to success, inspiration, results, and time management. Because one of those five things, almost everybody has a challenge with. Some people have all five, but everybody has at least one of them. And usually time management is one of the biggest ones.
Sure. And, you know, I am an acronym addict. So when you, that's music to my ears. I'm just busy writing this all down. I love that. That's fabulous.
Thank you.
Now, let's talk a little bit about Chapter 3. And you address, this is in Part 2 of your book. By the way, I want to make sure everyone knows your other book is Famous Isn't Enough and Pure Wealth.
Yeah.
These are all available at her website. Now, in Part 2, you address doing things differently, and Chapter 3 is relationship selling. Give us a little overview of that.
Well, you know, my whole thing is about that you have to take the time to build a relationship. It doesn't happen overnight. It doesn't stay overnight. And somebody has to really want to understand what's in it for them. It's not about you. Take the spotlight off you. It's about other people. But when you build a relationship, you want to show people that you're interested, not interesting. As salespeople, we like to talk about ourselves. We like to tell about all these great things we've done. But in reality, your prospect doesn't care. Not yet, anyway. They don't care. It's about them. How are you going to make their life easier? That's where the relationship comes in. Because when you can show somebody that whatever solution you come up with together is going to make their life easier, that's the relationship.
And you know, I think every time I've gone into new relationships, I find that one of the biggest things that helps is if you genuinely are interested, ask questions, and guess what? Then you have to listen.
And my nickname is the question queen. So I walk into a room, people roll their eyes because they know, here she comes. How can she have any more questions?
I love that because I'm like that too. Now, you also write about product knowledge. Now, there's nothing worse than someone trying to sell something that they don't know about. And that happens quite often, doesn't it?
Absolutely. You know, sometimes, and I hate to say this, but a lot of times a company will hire a female because she's attractive and she doesn't need to know anything. And that's actually what happened when I started in roofing. They told me that I'd have an expert, so I didn't have to answer any questions. They just wanted me to be the face of the company. When you don't know what you're talking about, how does anybody take you seriously? You know, so, you know, I always tell women, know your product and start getting yourself out there as far as writing an article, maybe in a journal, an industry journal or something. Show people that you are intelligent and it's okay to be smart. You know, growing up, girls were always taught, no, don't be so smart and, you know, let the boys think that they're smarter. No, it's not. That's not how it is anymore. Men appreciate smart women and women have to understand that it's okay to be smart.
Yeah. Well, that's such a interesting comment about product knowledge because I can't imagine, dear, how you ever were able to fake roofing. That would be a typhoon. tough one.
Well, you climb up the ladder. They underneath you. They look up your skirt, and then you have the expert with you who does all the talking. Meanwhile, the guy that's watching you could care less what he's saying. He knows he needs a roof, and he just says yes.
Oh, sure. That's a slam dunk. I love it. Mm-hmm. Now, you mentioned write a book, become an expert. And, you know, it's so easy to do that now because so many people can go to Create Space. If you have any expertise, put it in an ebook, work on that. You know, Judy did it in 6 months. It took me 2 years, but, you know, she's quicker. Write an ebook, and then guess what? It makes you an expert, doesn't it,
right,
Judy?
Absolutely. It's the funniest thing. When you have a book, you are considered an expert.
Yeah,
and a lot of people don't want to take the 6 months or the 2 years to write a book. And so an ebook is good. You can also get involved in, you know, the anthology books where all you do is write a chapter. And, you know, they give you a topic. Okay, so this book is going to be about profitability. So write a chapter on profitability. This book is going to be about, you know, confidence. So you write a chapter about that. When you write enough chapters, you know, you start to see that it's not that hard. When I wrote my second book, I knew I needed 80 blog posts because a blog post is 500 words and a book is 140,000. So if you had 80 times 500, not 140, it's 40,000. So you have 40,000 words. And so every night I would say, oh, I did 10 blog posts. Oh, I did 7 blog posts. And so by the end of 7 days, I had 80 blog posts.
Okay. And each blog post is only how many words?
500. On the average?
Right. Yeah. And I have to tell you, 500, you can pound that out pretty darn quick, can't you?
I mean, if you speak at all, if you have anything to say, it's 500 words. And it's hard, you know, like when you say, okay, well, Twitter is 140 characters, not 140 words. That's really short. So, you know, I mean.
Well, I find Twitter one of the most difficult things to communicate on. It's easy to just rattle off a bunch of words, and it's also very easy to share my sponsors with you. We're going to do that right now.
From cowgirl to caregiver to consultant, meet Becky Fiola, author of The Elder Care Consultant, your guide to making the best choices possible. Growing up on remote ranches across the western states, she tended to orphan creatures large and small. Later on, that nurturing instinct served her well as the primary caregiver for her late husband. And now, she offers hope and guidance as a consultant to the elderly and their families. When you need advice on caring for an aging loved one, you can find those answers and her book at Amazon.com and her website, www.assistedlivingadvantage.com. Executives, managers, entrepreneurs, and professionals. A people strategy and change consultant, award-winning author, emotional intelligence practitioner, and trainer, Yvette Bethel, can provide you with strategies you can use to empower yourself, grow your people, build your culture, and transform your results. For insights and strategies you can use to develop yourself to build a high-performing team, you can subscribe to Yvette Bethel's weekly podcast, Evolve, Mastery for Leaders of the New World. And sign up for her newsletter at YvetteBethel.com. That's YvetteBethel.com. YvetteBethel.com.
January Jones wants you to grow your business fast, getting free PR, doing interviews with podcasters and internet radio shows. Grab your free copy of our audio how-to course called How to Build Your Business, Get More Email Subscribers, and Make More Money Free Doing Podcast and Internet Talk Radio Interviews. Grab your copy right now at realfasttalkradio.com. Again, that website is realfasttalkradio.com.
Welcome back to Real Fast Success Stories with my guest today, Judy Hoberman. Judy, let's talk about Chapter 5, The Ties That Bind.
Okay. What do you want to know?
Who are we getting tied up with here?
50 Shades of Grey. You know, the truth of the matter is that what you want to do is you want to become like a resource for people. You want to talk about referrals because these are the ties that bind. When you become a resource for somebody, they're not going to look around for somebody else. when I was selling insurance, I was the resource for everything. People naturally assume that I knew somebody somewhere that would help them. I had people calling me and ask me, do you know anybody that paves a driveway? Okay, the point of the matter is that they reached out to me first. I was their resource because not only did I have a lot of information to give them, but I also knew who to contact if they needed something else, and I would always get back to people. So that's like, you know, that is huge. I would much rather people call me first, and even if I say to them, that's not my area of expertise, but I do know somebody that it is. Mm-hmm. That's one way. The other thing is referrals. I mean, you can't possibly get anything more valuable than a referral, because somebody trusts you enough to actually give you access to somebody that they are doing business with or somebody that they live with or, you know, whatever. Mm-hmm. And I always say that a referral is the most expensive free lead you can get. So when somebody offers you a referral, you need to treat it like gold.
Gold,
and you need
yeah.
to, because how many people do you know you give referrals and they never follow up?
Yeah.
So that's just, you know, a couple of different examples, but it's really more about relationships, and it's really more about referrals and being a resource.
Mm-hmm. And as you said earlier, it's very important you become the go-to girl when
right.
they want something. And if you don't know the answer, you know how to find it or who to find it from. The other thing I love that you mentioned, get back to people. Nothing mm-hmm. is more, I mean, like you, I do my own emails just because that's how I connect personally with people.
Right.
When people ignore your emails or ignore you, you just lose your incentive to have anything to do with them, don't you?
Absolutely. Absolutely, mm-hmm. you do. And, you know, what I always say, like, if you're networking and you promise me that you're going to send me either mm-hmm. your information or a report or whatever, and I don't get it, and it's something little, then why do I want to even do business with you if you can't do mm-hmm. something that little?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. I agree with you. And so often when we invite guests on the show, we send them what we want from them.
Mm-hmm.
And believe me, if they don't respond, and I mean respond quickly, it's very easy to kind of pass them over when you're making up the schedule, because you want people who are enthusiastic about working with you. Don't you agree?
Absolutely. And the worst thing is when, you know, like for me, when I get some of my guests, they do come from PR firms.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of times you don't have access to the guests themselves yet because the PR firm is giving you the information. And when the mm-hmm. PR firm doesn't get back to you, like really, you know,
yeah.
I had one
yeah.
where it was the morning of the show. I'm like, I'm just going to get somebody else because, and then she
yeah.
said, I was on vacation. Really?
Mm-hmm.
So
well, you know. I've kind of worked around that because when I work with PR firms, part of the arrangement is I want the email for my guests.
Yes.
I want the email. I want their phone number. I want to be able to Skype them, access them. I don't like going through other parties. And if you want to be on my show, that's just the way it's got to be.
Right. And so yeah. I've learned that pretty quickly.
Yeah, I bet you have. Okay, we're going to be wrapping this wonderful interview up. I'm so happy to have had you on the show. Any advice you have? Do you have any regrets? Let me ask that question.
I guess the regret would be that I didn't start out sooner
mm-hmm.
spreading the message about men and women. I didn't do it fast enough, early enough, because there's a lot of women that struggle. And, you know, I wish I would have started earlier. That's really my only regret, you know. And I guess the other regret is that I didn't take time for myself soon enough. But when I learned that I needed to do that, I did it.
Oh, yeah. You made that a priority.
Yep.
What are your thoughts? We hear so much about the glass ceiling. Do you think women are breaking through?
I think a lot of times the glass ceiling is real, depending on the situation. But I think a lot of times we invoke it on ourselves. You know, we have an excuse of why we're not getting where we want to get to, when really it's because we're not asking, and you have mm-hmm. to ask, you
yeah.
know, and yeah. I think that's part of it.
And I think, you know, women traditionally, they're, let's face it, we're people pleasers. And so
we are. So can I please your audience and give them something for free?
Oh, for sure. What do you have there?
I have an ebook which talks about like 7 different strategies for working with men and women.
Okay.
And the book is called Skirting the Issues. But the actual way to get it, it's go to my website, www.sellinginaskirt.com. Mm-hmm. And then it's /special-offer. I put it in the chat box for you.
Okay.
Sellinginaskirt/special-offer. And it's a great book. I originally had written it and forgot that I wrote it. And then, And somebody said, don't you have an ebook? I thought, ooh, yeah. So now I just give it away.
Okay. Well, I'm happy to share that with everyone. Sellinginaskirt.com/special-offer. Offer. Okay. I'm going to sign up for that. I want to read that. I know that most of my listeners would love to read that. I was telling you earlier, we had a guest last week who gave away a free ebook, and he had 4,000 people respond that week. So this is a wonderful opportunity for people to get some information and learn a little more about selling in a skirt. And you're also going to learn a little more about Judy Hoberman. Judy, I love having you on the show. I hope you'll come back again in the future. This has been really fun.
Absolutely. And you have to promise you'll come on my show.
Okay. I will do that. Let me know when you want me.
Yeah.
To my wonderful listeners, we hope you've enjoyed our show today with Judy as much as I've enjoyed doing it. She's a pretty amazing gal, isn't she? My upcoming guests are all exciting, eclectic, and energizing, just like Judy. I would love to welcome you to our No Whining World when you can. Please do sign on to my website, januaryjones.com. You know, we really love sharing our stories, our struggles, and especially our secrets for success. And Judy sure has a lot of secrets that she shared today. Now, remember my mantra, if you think it, then you can do it. So for now, my dear friends, you need to stop whining, then start smiling, and then start sharing our show with everyone you know. If that doesn't work, then you can start eating chocolate as you get ready for Valentine's Day. It's coming up pretty soon. Again, thank you to my guest today, Judy Hoberman. This is January Jones, thanking you for joining me today on my journey, and reminding you to take care and stay safe as we close with music by Sorantos.
This is Sorantos, and you're listening to January Jones. This is Sorantos. I hope you enjoyed January Jones' latest episode.
We want to thank you for listening to January Jones Sharing Success Stories. Always remember Ms. Jones' personal mantra, if you can think it, you can do it. That's what all of our guests have done with their lives, and so can you. You are the ultimate success coach in your own life. All you need to do will be to start sharing your own story with your family and friends. We hope that our guest stories will encourage you to explore an equation in your future that will combine your creativity, plus connecting with others will enable you to be successful too. Always remember, your passion plus your purpose will equal prosperity as you explore the wonderful world of January Jones.